Well, hello and welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. I hope everybody's having a magnificent day today. Lots of news as always. And how are you doing today, Dan?
Awesome. Blessed beyond measure, shaking together, running over, trying to wake up. Daylight savings time, how they blow down everybody's immune systems back upon us. It's going to be another week. You know, it's funny. They did this stuff, you know, years, you know, centuries ago when we had to get out in the middle of the night, you know, and harvest crops and corns. They had to keep it lighter later for the kids to work later. You know, we don't have that anymore. We have giant combines that basically people hire out to bring their crops in. They use headlights and semi-trucks at night in the fields. I mean, this is ridiculous. And nobody likes it. Nobody likes daylight savings times. It's like going through a doggone time change every 6 months. And again, it lowers the immune system. It cuts out. It'll take a week for me to get my sleep patterns right again. And if any of you have ever traveled to Europe, you know what I'm talking about. It's like something can be anywhere from 5 hours to 8 hours to 10 hours, depending on where you go, all the way to China, up to 12 hours. And it's nuts. And you feel horrible for the first week you're there. You feel horrible for the first week you get back. I know people that have gotten so debilitated from coming back from China that they end up in the hospital because of dehydration, et cetera, et cetera. And so time changes are very difficult on the body. That's why you see these people who are doing the jet set stuff. If they've got enough money, they put a bed in their plane, which those are real nice. Those are the G4s and G5s, G6s, and G550s or whatever they're making now. And they have like a bedroom with a, you know, king-size bed or a master queen-size bed in the plane, and they sleep because they don't want to sit up all night and not get any sleep. And so it's very important that people understand that daylight savings time is not anything healthy, and we don't need it anymore. And there have been so many people for decades trying to get rid of it. But yet, our do-nothing Congress, which is incapable of doing anything besides well, I'm not going to say anything nasty, but they can't do anything besides just fiddle around. That's all they can do and not get anything done. But these guys are just absolutely do-nothing people up there. In fact, Cortez, you know, I called her out for being an actress a few months ago. I told you she's just an actress. She's just somebody who's playing a role. Let me give you a little information. This is an email. It says the brains behind the AOC, Alexandra Cortez. It's posted on the website at healthmasters.com. And it says, YouTuber Mr. Reagan explains that with Alexandra Cortez, also known as AOC, that's her initials, the people of New York did not elect a Puerto Rican girl from the Bronx. They actually elected an Indian guy from Texas. His name is Sakat Chakrabarty, a white guy from Tennessee, also known as Corbin Trent. In 2016, listen to this for a second, guys. In 2016, Cortez was working as a bartender in New York City. Now, there's nothing wrong with being a bartender. I'm not going to nail her for that. I don't care about that. That's whatever, okay? She never dreamed of running for Congress. It was her brother, listen to this, who entered her into a contest, like a talent thing that was basically being held by a group called the Justice Democrats, headed by these two people that I already mentioned. It was quite literally a casting call for an actress. Out of 10,000 entries, Cortez won the role to play Congresswoman. Let me repeat that. Won the role to play the Congresswoman from New York's 14th District. And they make no secret of this. Cortez indisputably has star power, which I disagree with. She's a big mouth. I call her BMW, a big mouth woman. Oh, shouldn't have said that. That was politically incorrect. The film featuring her at the Sundance Film Festival was such a hit that the producers were immediately able to sell the non-theatrical distribution rights to Netflix for $10 million. From the Justice Department's own promotional film, it appears that at least going in, Cortez doesn't plan on being the Bronx representative very long. As she says in the promo, if you're a one-term congressman, so what? You can make 10 years worth of change in one term. Now, I don't believe this, because if you look at this stuff here, now let's go back for just 1 second here. She won a contest with 10,000 applicants to be the congresswoman, and they pushed her in. Who's funding this? Okay. Who's spending the tens of millions of dollars to make this happen? Oh, that's right. Somebody's getting funded through the Rothschild banking cartel. Another cutout. These guys constantly do this. You know, it's so frustrating to me to have to try to argue with other alternative talk show hosts about the international banking cartels and what they do and how they completely manipulate and run everything. I mean, the Fed chairman just said again this weekend, Trump can't fire him. You know, this is just kind of interesting. It's like 11 hours ago. Trump can't fire him. Jerome Powell says Trump can't fire him, has no legal authority to fire him. He says, law is clear. I have a four-year term, and I'm fully intending to serve it, Powell said during an interview on CBS's 60 Minutes that aired yesterday. When pressed for a yes or no, Powell said, no, Trump couldn't fire me. So this is who these guys are. They don't answer to the laws of the United States of America. He doesn't answer to Congress. He doesn't answer to the president himself. He doesn't answer to we the people of the United States of America. He can do what he darn sure wants to do, and nobody's going to tell him any difference. See, and this is who the guy is. And now he's taking his direction from the New York Fed guys that run the New York Fed, the owners of the New York Fed, the private banks that run this. They tell him what to do because he's just a hireling, is all he is. And they're taking it from the Sabbatean Kabbalists, the Luciferians who control the Babylonian money magic. It all, you know, it always goes back to these guys. And I've talked about this on the show before, Austin. It always goes back to the same set of clowns. They basically have set this thing up, and it's like Otto Kahn says, you know, they control. This is what he said 100 years ago, one of the founding people of the Federal Reserve Bank. He says, what we do is we control the tilt of the Earth's axis by the direction we allow things to go in. In other words, we control the yin and the yang, the pro and the con. Both sides. We control Fox. We control CNN. We control all of it. And that way we can direct and shape any way we want to do it. And you asked me this question, Ted. Are these guys really that smart? And the answer is yeah, because they don't have any moral ethics to go by. If you think that everybody is the diseased rat with leprosy walking around with you, and that you're a godlike person who basically has different DNA than everybody else, and if you kill a million people in Venezuela by shutting the power off with an electronic EMP burst or whatever you could use, which is what Maduro is saying the United States did now, which is probably true. I'm not sure about the million dead, but that could happen very quickly. If this happens and this goes out like this, yeah, they don't care. You see, these are the same guys that brought us World War I and World War II with hundreds of millions dead. These are the same guys that brought us Stalin with up to 66 million dead. These are the same guys that do it all. And these guys, you know what they need to have done to them? This is awful. And it's not awful. It's just justice. These guys are so wicked. They need to be dealt the same level of justice that they dealt with us. In other words, they need to be taken out back and hung by the neck until dead. If proven guilty of fraud, proven guilty of treason, if proven guilty of all of these crimes. See, what they've learned is this. In the human story, I got an email this morning from a good friend by the name of Don Ott, and he was talking about how his life and his background was so similar to mine. You know, having to work hard when his father had died when he was young. He was an over-the-road truck driver. He'd be gone for months at a time, and his lifestyle killed him very, very young. And he basically had to work like I did. But every story needs a protagonist. You know, if the protagonist of your story is work, and it makes you and shapes you and makes you become a better person, okay. But these guys, these bankers, this Sabbatean group, they always provide us a protagonist of their choice. Okay, our protagonist now is Cortez, if you're conservative. Our protagonist now is Trump, if you're a liberal. And they give us these people, and they allow the advertising and the marketing to be such that it galvanizes people to the left and galvanizes people to the right. Mancow Mueller told me one time, he said, Ted, he goes, you can make it really big on radio and TV if you galvanize, if you're far left or you're far right. But if you go down the middle and you tell the truth about the right side and you tell the truth about the left side, they won't let you go very far as far as in the mainstream media. Why? Because you're not maintaining the narrative. To them, the narrative is so very, very important. And guys, I'm not talking about the, you know, protagonist of person of work or the school bully who used to pick on you and you got to beat him back up or start working out or whatever you did to stop all that mess. I'm not talking about those types of protagonists that help you grow as an individual. I'm talking about a protagonist that puts you into a cell that you don't see, puts you in a jail that you don't see, puts you behind bars that you don't see metaphorically to create this slave planet they're trying to develop. That's the protagonist these guys believe they are, because they believe they can do whatever they want to do whenever they want to do it, and nobody can stop them. I mean, the head guy, one of the head guys from Google now, a letter was just released in which he said, we have to stop what's going on with the right, left, or with the right, with the right. Well, I'll read it to you. This is from Breitbart. Google manager said company must stop fake news because that's how Trump won. A manager at Google recently cautioned a lower-level employee for questioning the company's stance on fake news, telling him that the company had to stop fake news. Now, this is not fake news in most cases. Now, some cases, some of the alternative people get kind of screwy, but not all the time. And hate speech, because that's how Trump won, according to the post aired publicly by another Google employee on a social media post. Now, what does that mean? That means when we go out and we tell the truth about what these guys are doing and we post it. I mean, I'm not talking about – I'm talking what I'm telling you guys this morning. This is hate speech as far as these guys are concerned. I haven't said anything about anybody. I haven't mentioned one person or one thing, their political beliefs, their personal beliefs, their religion. I haven't mentioned anything. I'm just saying they can say this is hate speech or this is fake news. Why is this fake news? Because I'm not in the – I'm not the narrative that's promoting these people to be to the right or to the left. I'm not trying to galvanize you to the left or to the right. I'm just trying to say, hey, look down the middle of this thing. Let's go back 100 years. Can't do that. Can't go back 100 years. They stopped teaching history past, you know, before 1880 in most high schools now. They don't want to talk about Civil War. They've already made everybody believe it was about racism and about slavery, which was a minor issue but was not the primary issue. It was about states' rights. You can't change – these guys change the narrative. They change the story. They change all of this stuff because they get to write the history books and they get to run the publishing presses until pretty soon this thing – it's so twisted, you don't even know what really happened. That's one thing I like about the Egyptians, Austin. They came in and they put everything on stone hieroglyphics. Maybe they knew something we didn't know. Maybe they thought, let's just chisel it in stone. Maybe we could chisel it in stone and paint it in the stone, and then basically nobody's going to come and change the narrative, and we can put these little pictograms down, and hey, this is what happened. But manager of Google now saying that the company must stop fake news. And now Google's taking it upon itself to police the internet and stop search engines from finding shows like the Ted and Austin Brower Show, or the Dave Hodges Show, or the Sheila Zielinski Show, or the Doug and Joe Hagman Show. Why? Because they consider us to be fake news. It doesn't matter if we're taking a story right off of Breitbart or a story right off of Drudge. By the way, I'm going to say something. This is going to kind of shake you guys up a little bit. Well, no, it won't shake you guys up. If you're my listeners, you already know pretty much to expect anything off this show. I hate to tell you this. Drudge and Breitbart, they're biased. They're not giving us real stuff either. They're really, 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 really biased. And, you know, you don't get the headlines off of Drudge and off of Breitbart that you're supposed to. You don't get those. Now, you get 80%. 80% is pretty good stuff. But there's about 20% they leave out. And, you know, like you never talk about the rebuilding of the Third Temple or the Antichrist. You don't see any of those stories on Breitbart or Drudge. Why? Can't talk about that. Can't do it. Nip, nip, nip. Nix, 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 nix. Can't talk about that. That's just something we can't talk about. And, guys, if we don't talk about the full scope of what's happening, and now these guys over in Israel really believe that Donald Trump is going to rebuild the temple. I mean, they really do believe this. They really believe that he's the one, that he's the president who's going to do this. In fact, this is from israelitoday.co.il. It says, top Israeli rabbi believes that Trump will build the third temple in Jerusalem. So this is where we're going. So now, notice, I didn't find this on Drudge. I found this from Israel Today. Now, the Israelis don't mind talking about this stuff because they believe this. But we can't promote it on Drudge. We can't promote it. Now, if you say, if I do a show on this right now, a story, which I'm doing, and I say Israeli Today says top Israeli rabbi believes Trump will rebuild the third temple in Jerusalem, that's anti-Semitic. Why is it anti-Semitic? Because you mentioned Israel. I didn't say anything bad. I said the top Israeli rabbi believes that Trump will rebuild the third temple is the headline. No, I can't talk about that. But why can't I talk about that? Can't talk about that. But now, Ted, you're being a bigot and you're being a racist. I didn't say anything. I said that this Israeli Today, one of the top news stories here out of Israel, says the top Israeli rabbi believes Trump will rebuild the third temple in Jerusalem. Oh, no, that's fake news. Okay, it's fake news, it's being racist, and it's being bigoted because I mentioned this. Wow, is that where we are? Guys, is that where we are now? All of you listening, is that where we are? That when we say a statement, it's racist and bigoting? I mean, are you kidding me? It's really? I mean, if that's what you gotta do, if I say that the Federal Reserve is set up in such a way that Trump can't fire the Federal Reserve chairman, and it says it on 60 Minutes last night, I can't report that because it's being racist and bigoted? Is this what fake news has turned into? That you can't tell what they say anymore? Well, that's right, because why? Because when you come in and you tell them what they say, but then you unspin the narrative and you tell them why they said what they said, and you give your opinion on it, now you go, now you're being a racist, you're being a bigot. Again, a bigot is being a person who's diametrically opposed to another person's outside or her belief structure. So if I believe a pedophile is a horrible person who basically needs to be taken out back and strung up, which, I, by the way, I really do believe that, you know, what the heck, man? That makes me a bigot towards that pedophile? Yeah, I am actually a bigot towards that pedophile. You say, well, you shouldn't be bigoted towards anybody. Everybody has a right to do whatever they want to do, and it doesn't matter what they do. It doesn't matter what they say. You have to accept them. You've got to embrace them. You've got to love them. You've got to hold them and care for them. You've got to rub their head and stroke them and say, I love you so much, it doesn't matter what kind of weird pervert you are. No! I'm not going to do that because my basis on what I believe is based upon the Word of God. The Word of God says it's better a millstone be tied around their neck and they fall into the bottom of the sea to hurt one of these little children. That's what my Bible says. So, yeah, so that was, does that mean that Jesus was a bigot? Well, he called them all a bunch of Satan worshipers and children of the devil. Does that make him a bigot? I'm not saying that Jesus Christ is a bigot, but that's what some weirdo might say that. I think he was just telling the truth. So I believe we should be able to tell the truth in our opinion and our First Amendment rights, regardless of who it may or may not offend, unless we're getting really, really down and dirty calling people just ridiculous names and saying that they all should die because they don't believe the way we believe, but because we don't agree with them at that point in time, it doesn't make us a bigot. It makes us somebody who has their own opinion and is willing to tell the truth. What do you think, Oz?
Oh, that's absolutely right. And that's the issue that we've seen now recently, is that the concept of hate speech and the concept of hate news is now being spun and twisted so aggressively to be used as a narrative, as you talked about before, for the leftists to criticize and demonize anything that doesn't go along with what they want you to believe. It really is now the modern-day newer version of the term conspiracy theory. Remember, about 20, 25 years ago, that term was coined back in the early 90s. To essentially start making anybody that said something about the narrative that brought facts and truth to light and questioned the narrative, they call them a conspiracy theorist. You're a conspiracy theorist. Well, the problem was now that term has been just played out, and most people don't even care anything about it because they've been caught so many times now, and so many things have been proven that were conspiracy theories that they turned out to be complete facts, and the public found out about them. So that term doesn't work anymore. So they had to find something out now to say, okay, well, that's fake news. Even though majority of the time, the people that constantly call out fake news from the left are the same people that actually push true fake news, if that makes any sense. The actual fake news that is complete and total fake news, like CNN. So something just to understand how we're all being played. Also, too, if anybody saw this, this is interesting now. The power grid completely went down in Venezuela on Thursday. Maduro claims it was a cyber attack from the United States. Others are claiming that it was a failure from just a lack of infrastructure that's completely crippling down there. I have no idea. I know there's been a lot of rhetoric from the United States to invade and take over Venezuela. So who knows? However, they've already said now that at least over 1,000 people died just over the weekend from lack of electricity because everything shut down. They said like 70 neonatal infants, 300 dialysis patients, over 300 other injured and illnesses, and many others. Looting and rioting has gone rampant. I mean, they have zero power in Venezuela. The main hydroelectric plant in Venezuela failed on Thursday, setting into motion essentially a cascading series of failing events, and it's bad. I mean, no stores, no gas stations, no banks, no ATMs, no phones, no internets, no hospitals. They have gone completely dark in that country, which would make sense now to have a precipitating incident for the U.S. to invade them to bring foreign aid and to help restore the essential elements down there. But, I mean, they're in a bad spot. So I feel bad for a lot of people in Venezuela because a lot of the people down there, the majority of them down there, they didn't have anything to do with this. I mean, they're just trying to live their own life. And they've gotten caught up in a socialist government now for the last years and years and years. And now we've seen the sanctions that were placed on that socialist government cripple it even further over the last 10 years now and completely ruin the country, even when Chavez wanted his gold back down there. And it's sad. It's sad to see those people going through that and getting worse and worse and worse. So I personally expect some type of full-blown military invasion or full-blown military intervention in the very, very near future with this going on down there right now. Also, too, on the southern border, U.S. quarantines over 2,200 migrants total now across the southern border as they're seeing unprecedented disease outbreaks. They said as of March 7th, U.S. immigration officials have quarantined at least 2,287 migrants carrying everything from measles, mumps, to chickenpox, citing an ICE official who spoke on the condition of being anonymous. Since January alone, just the 1,094-bed Pine Prairie facility, just that facility alone, had 18 detainees with confirmed cases of mumps, compared to no cases in 2018. As of mid-February, 288 people were under quarantine at the Pine Prairie facility alone. And again, like I said, they're now saying that total across the southern border detainment facilities, over 2,200 migrants have now been confirmed carrying all kinds of infectious diseases. But what's ironic about this is we're starting to see all these measles cases pop up across the country, and at the same time, they're now using that as a cascading series of events to blame individuals that haven't been vaccinated, that are U.S. citizens, that have not shown any type of ailment whatsoever. They're blaming people that have had no diseases, have had no confirmed cases, just because they didn't get vaccinated. They're blaming that on us, and using that as a precursor to try to force mandated, forced vaccines. And what's ironic about this, I saw an article earlier about a rabid feminist named of Rebecca Peters, I mean, real hardcore liberal feminist. She did a lecture, a full lecture at Emory University in Georgia, claiming how abortion is a moral good now for the American society. Sick, sick, sick thing. I mean, I only read part of it. And it was entitled Reframing Choice, Reframing Choice. Basically, reframing your idea of killing babies. Reframing choice, abortion as a moral good. Her lecture focused on the right of women to murder their unborn children and blame racism and patriarchy for judging and shaming women over abortion, but has no problem with forcing everyone to get vaccinated for the greater good. Now, this concept has been one that I have brought up numerous times when I've had arguments with people over abortions. Because almost every time, those same people that want guaranteed free abortions at essentially any part of birth or any part of pregnancy to be legal are the same ones that demand everybody needs to be vaccinated, if so forcibly, if need be. But what's so funny, so women should have the open choice to murder their babies with no questions asked, but yet everyone should be forcibly vaccinated and not be able to question anything about vaccines. Does anybody see the hypocrisy there with that? It's almost funny if it wasn't so scary. It's ironic that you see these individuals that demand they should have a right to murder a child all the way up until birth and after if the abortion's not successful, but yet nobody should have the right not to be vaccinated and to question why we have formaldehyde and aluminum and MSG and polyasorbate 80 and mercury and all types of other known toxins in our vaccines that are known to cause neurological disorders. Why we can't question that? We should just sit down, shut up, and take the vaccine. But then we can't question anything about abortions. They need to have a full right to abortion, and nobody can say anything about it. And now it needs to be reframed because it's for the moral good of society to kill your unborn child. Unbelievable, Dad, how we're starting to see the good being bad and bad being good and everything being turned upside down with this leftist narrative that they're trying to force everybody to buy into.
It's the communist narrative. It's what it is. I mean,
yeah,
there's no other picture to paint except for just communism. I mean, Cortez, number one, Cortez is an actress. She's just an idiot. She's just a big mouth. She, blah, blah, blah. She can't put together a creative thought in her head if she had to. I mean, she's so stupid with this Green Deal. All she comes in is spouts out all this rhetoric. You know, it's just stupid. And because remember, the socialist revolution, the communist revolution in Russia didn't happen overnight. It happened over a period of about 20 years. I mean, it was breeding and festering for decades before it finally erupted in the streets. And that's what they're doing again to us. You know, what is it? Over 50% of the millennials or the generation Z now or whatever these latest kids are, they want to be in a socialist communist government because they don't understand where the communist government came from and what it's done and the tens of millions, almost 70 million people that it killed. They don't understand any of that stuff. They're just stupid because they've been programmed via their school teachers because of the liberal socialists in the school systems. They've been programmed, you know, via their peer groups. They've been programmed via all this stuff. And this is what these guys are involved in. They've destroyed the youth. Oh, by the way, Harvard law professor, this is from Daily Mail, says that slimy, oh, this guy must be a bigot. He's got to be a racist. He can't be saying stuff like this. This is from the Daily Mail. Racist, bigot, fake news. But I'm going to report it anyhow. Harvard law professor says slimy Jared Kushner is the beating heart of the corrupt and deeply evil Trump administration. Constitutional law professor Lawrence Tribe made the comments on Saturday. He said basically this is what's going on. He was responding to a Newsweek columnist Seth Abramson, who had called President Donald Trump's son-in-law the greatest domestic danger to America. Wow. You know what, guys? It says, he goes, here's a little thing he sent out. He goes, I'm with Seth Abramson here. Prime, it says he is swarmy, slimy, smiling Jared Kushner of 666, that's his address, Fifth Avenue, is the beating heart of this unprecedented, corrupt, and deeply evil administration, Tribe tweeted. Wow. He will eventually be exposed as an insatiably greedy Benedict Arnold, he added, key implying that Kushner would betray the United States. You know, again, I mean, that's what they're doing. Call it out. Who he works for. Who his master is. Call it out about his unbelievably close relationship with Benjamin Netanyahu. Oh, I went there. Call it out that he's a Shabbatist. That he's a Kabbalist. That his wife wears a little red string around her wrist. That they worship fallen angels. And why don't we call that out? Why don't we call it out? Oh, we can't do that. Oh, no. Nix. Can't do it. Got to stay in the narrative. Slimy Kushner. Got to stay slimy. Can't go any further than that. That's what we've got to do. Can't talk about who and what he believes and what his religious precedent is. Can't say he's part of the Shabbat cult, which is a doomsday cult that wants this World War III. Oh, can't say that. Let's not touch that. Let's maintain the narrative on what we want to maintain. Now, here's another interesting thing here. Here's what they've done to us. The same group. They've brought us pornography. 99% is owned by this group. I'm going to read you part of this. This is out of The Guardian. Okay? In 2016, the university found that 93% of 14-year-old children had been seen explicit sexual material online. That's 93%, almost everybody. With 60% of children having watched it in their own homes. An Irish study published earlier this year in the Journal of Porn Studies. Okay, there's a Journal of Porn Studies. That's new to me. I haven't read that yet. What pervert would want to be in that? And the Irish study published earlier this year in the Journal of Porn Studies found that 52% of boys started using pornography for age 13 and under. Social media can be a gateway. Listen to this. I didn't realize this. Listen to this. Social media can be a gateway, says Sharp. Porn stars have Instagram accounts. I didn't know that. And they're getting kids to look at their Instagram. And within their material, they'll say, hey, look at my latest video. And the kid doesn't know. He says, oh, wow, this girl's hot. I'm going to click on this. He's 13 years old. He says, this girl's hot. She's got to see the video. And one or two clicks, and boom, you're looking at hardcore porn. Kids of 12 or 13 aren't supposed to be looking at hardcore adult materials, what this article says. I'm going to rephrase that. Nobody should be looking at hardcore porn because of what it does to the body and how messed up it makes you. It makes you so you become, in some cases, like Ted Bundy, where you have to find harder and harder porn until you end up with these weird movies that are killing people for real on porn. They're called snuff films, and you become totally and completely perverted. Then you get perverted in your own personal life, and you start doing like, oh, gosh, imagine this. Imagine, I'm going here, guys. Then you kind of get like Roger Stone, all right? and you put a magazine, picture of you and your wife in a magazine. Look under, you can see it online. I'm not making this up. He's working for the Bob Dole campaign. And he's running double page ads promoting himself and his wife for sex swapping. He gets busted by Bob Dole. Bob Dole fires him off the campaign. And you get into a situation where now you're giving your wife away to other men. He perverted. I almost said a bad word. Then we have to have him on alternative news. And people went, oh, Roger Stone said, and don't get me wrong. What they did by raiding his house in the middle of the morning like they did and taking him out, it was wrong. It was wrong. I don't care who he was.
Gag order.
He was. That's right. But the whole thing about it is, but promoting him as some kind of bastion of good, some Saint Stone, who basically is all this and all that, poop on that mess. I'm not dealing with that. I don't want to hear one thing about what this guy has to say. If he's that perverted, he's sending his wife out to other men. As far as I'm concerned, he can go ahead and do whatever he wants to do, but I don't want to hear anything he has to say, because quite frankly, if he's that bad making those types of decisions, why should I listen to anything he says, whether it's true or not? I mean, why should any of us do that? Why should any of us think that any of this stuff's going to be okay? Dave Hodges had an interesting article on the Daily Coin, and he says, gun confiscation is always a prelude to genocide. Yeah, I got to agree with that. He goes, those who understand the heinous nature of the United Nations, as well as their failed agenda and as a so-called peacekeeping force, should understandably be concerned with the impending presence of the UN soldiers on the streets of Chicago. Whoa. Extreme gun violence is listed as the primary reason why. This may be one truthful aspect of the planned U.S. occupation of the United States, of the United Nations. Eventually, the United Nations is going after the guns of all Americans. Now, remember, guys, let's go ahead and dance around the tulips again. Who owns the United Nations? That would be the Rothschilds. Think through this for a second. They control all of it by controlling the narrative. They're the same group. This is the same group that pushed for a high school student who was suspended for posing with pro-Trump MAGA flag and wearing a Trump sweatshirt, excuse me, to be suspended from school. I mean, this is crazy. This is Perry High School girl, Lagone Jones, and her friend posing MAGA sweaters with a Trump MAGA flag. And last Friday, they were suspended. Student Jones, after a security officer reprimanded her, you can't pose with a flag. You can't do that. You can't do it. You can't have a Trump thing. Reprimanded her. She posed for photos of Make America Great. Oh, my God, Make America Great. How could you say that? MAGA sweater while holding a pro-Trump Make America Great flag again. On Wednesday, the Alliance Defending Freedom sent a demand letter warning of legal action unless the school dropped the suspension. The school agreed to allow Jones to return to school that day, but refused to remove the suspension from her academic record. Think about that for a second. So that means if a college gets this, now they're going to have an academic record. This girl's a pro-America girl. She's dangerous. This girl doesn't want to have anything but America first, and she really feels that we need to be a nationalist and pro-America, and we should think about the United States before we give hundreds of billions of dollars away to any country in the world. Oh, my God, she's one of those. She's a sinful, sinful girl, and she needs to go straight to hell. H-E double sticks. Nobody's going past go. No one's collecting $200. Straight to hell, because she wants to make America great again. So we got to make an example of her right now. Now, today, and we've got to suspend her and slam her academic record. Unbelievable. What do you think, Oz?
Oh, it's exactly what we've seen over and over and over again. I mean, it's taking, and I keep bringing this up, but it's so important everybody understand this, it's taking the construct of the American Constitution, it's taking our ideas, our values, our strengths, our freedoms, everything that makes America what it is, that made us so awesome, and it's throwing them down the toilet and flushing it. This is what they're doing to the younger generation, because if they can slowly, slowly, slowly convince the younger generation, indoctrinate them, push so much propaganda into their young little brains to believe guns are horrible. You should never touch firearms. You should never be around firearms, ever. They're bad, 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 bad. There's a bill that was introduced to Florida last week, which it will go nowhere, I'm sure, with the hard Republicans that we still have down here. It's essentially a bill that they introduced to ban any minor, anyone under the age of 18, with posting a photo on any social media of a firearm, of an airsoft gun, of a BB gun, or any replica firearm that looks like a gun. And essentially, if you get caught as a minor posting a photo of even an airsoft gun on social media, you're charged with a misdemeanor charge, and the parents are charged with a misdemeanor charge, and the parents have to go to re-education classes. I kid you not, this bill was that tyrannical. To slowly demonize the firearms to the younger generation. It was interesting. I was at a dealership yesterday. We were looking at a vehicle. Me and Dad were over there, and there was a girl that basically was running the phones. She was 19. She's from New Jersey. And we mentioned something about guns, and she goes, "Oh, no, that's, I don't do guns. I don't like being around guns. I'm from New Jersey. We don't do guns in New Jersey." And Dad goes, he goes, "Well, the criminals have guns in New Jersey." And she goes, "Well, I just don't like being around guns, period. But I came down here to Florida,
right.
And everybody's got guns down here in Florida.
Right.
I walk up to somebody's desk in the office, and he's got a gun under his desk. And I go out to a car, and they got another shotgun in their car. I don't know what to do with all these guns down here in Florida." And I laughed and said, "Well, yeah, it's because it's Florida. We're still the gunshine state, and we're trying to maintain that aspect because a huge portion of the United States has been disarmed. And a huge portion of the United States, if they haven't been disarmed, they have been mentally disarmed into believing that guns are bad, as this 19-year-old girl did, that all firearms are big, bad, and scary, that gun sitting there in the holster is somehow gonna jump out, drop the safety, squeeze the trigger itself, and shoot you. Because, of course, we know that's what inanimate objects do. They just jump around and shoot people for no reason. Just like there's a sword on the wall. You have a samurai sword is displayed on the wall. That sword is going to jump down, unsheath itself, and stab you in the stomach because that's what swords do, right? Same thing that guns do. They jump around and kill people without anybody around them. No. Guns are tools just like knives are tools, just like pitchforks are tools, just like any type of weapon in modern-day history or prior history warfare is a tool. Ironically enough, we see that now the UK supermarkets have announced they're going to stop selling kitchen knives by the end of April, as the UK has found itself in the midst of a knife crime epidemic. It's already illegal to sell a knife to anyone under the age of 18, but the deadly weapons are one of the most frequently shoplifted items from British stores now. Wonder why. The announcement comes in the aftermath of several high-profile stabbings last weekend by two 17-year-olds who were killed in separate attacks in London. Figures published by the official Office of National Statistics last month revealed that there were a total of 285 fatal stabbings in 2018 alone, just in London. The worst year for knife crimes in record history since records began in 1946 after World War II. So it's ironic to me, let's just take a step back for a second. They've never had knife violence ever this bad in London, ever in history, since records of 1946 after World War II. Okay? Knives have been around since forever. They've been readily available to the public in London. So what is the main precipitating factor that has caused all these knifings to start in the UK over the last 20 to 30 years? Could it possibly be the introduction of third world Muslims that are actively involved in knife fight and machete fights in their country on a regular basis and bringing them into a first world country and they have no idea how to interact? Remember I told you guys a couple weeks ago about the video footage I saw from Somalia with the two guys that got in a machete fight in the middle of the street, then two more guys got involved in a machete fight, and they're having a machete quad fight in the middle of the street, so one of them basically gets hacked to death and they all run off and disappear. And essentially, from what I read, it was over a dispute, over a dispute on the road, something about food, and they got in a machete fight, hacked each other to death, ran off. That was just their typical Tuesday afternoon at 1 p.m. Well, when you take those people and you put them into a first world country, a high-end first world country like London, and you give them unlimited access to very nice knives, very nice cutlery, and you see what happens now in this country to where they now are having hundreds upon hundreds of fatal stabbings in London alone every single year now, and the only thing they can figure out how to do is ban knives because, we couldn't possibly get rid of the individuals that we've brought here that are causing the violence. That would be bigotry and hatred. You couldn't possibly take those people and arrest them and take them back out of the country. You couldn't possibly do that. That's not even an option. So now we need to take people's ability from buying knives. Next, we're going to start having fork fights and spoon fights in the middle of the street. They're going to start having spoon deaths from people getting beat to death with spoons. So I guess they'll start banning spoons after that in London. I don't know. I don't know how far they're going to take it to completely disarm that state. I don't know. But it's just absolutely ironic to me to see stuff like this. It's sad, but it's ironic when they will not address the problem. They literally will blame the knife for the problem. Right here in this article, the knife is the problem. The knife is the culprit. The knife is the attacker. Let's not talk about the individual holding the knife. Let's not talk about the violent Muslim ideology that has been brought into that country. Let's not talk about that, Dad.
Well, you know, it's funny. I mean, we can blame it all on the Muslims. I mean, we can do that. We can blame it all on the Jews. We can blame it on the Christians. We can blame it on the Hindus. We can blame it all on the Buddhists. But the thing about it is that people have been killing people since Cain killed Abel. I mean, it's just what it is. I mean, this isn't something that's new on our society.
No.
The problem is it's always blame shifting. But see, what happened is back in the 60s, this is an interesting little tie together here real quick. You guys will like this. Back in the 60s when Kennedy got shot by multiple shooters, I may add, and if you watch the video from JFK to 9/11, it's a rich man's trick, which has been banned now on many platforms. From JFK to 9/11, it's a rich man's trick. It goes into detail on how this happened. Now, what they don't really talk about in the video is this. The CIA, they had to do a big cover-up because they were involved in this. And since they control the media, they started releasing the term conspiracy theorist back in the 60s about the Warren cover-up, the Warren Commission cover-up, and the Warren Report. And why? Because the Warren Report was a big lie. And they're saying, ho, 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 these people who think that the Warren Report was fake, they're a conspiracy theorist. Ho, 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 ho. And they would laugh openly on TV, ridiculing the conspiracy theorist. Who wasn't being a conspiracy theorist? They were simply questioning the narrative that the mainstream media and the Warren Commission had given out. But they had to ridicule them. See, this is all part of that Delphi technique. Let's get somebody in a group and let's embarrass them in front of a group of people to get them to shut up. Let's embarrass you because you think the Kennedy thing was a thing. So we're going to embarrass you in your own home. We're going to come in here while you're in your little theta alpha brainwave state or beta state or whatever you're in when you're watching your TV set. And then we're going to laugh at you. You believe this is a conspiracy theorist? Are you a conspiracy theorist? You have to be a nut. Then they came out with a movie with Mel Gibson. And then Conspiracy Theory, whatever it was, and basically, I think the name of the movie was, and then they basically made him to be this total nutbag in them, and he was telling the truth about everything. Guys, it's what they do. They spin the narrative. Oh, so-and-so, he got caught with something on his computer he shouldn't have, but he didn't really seem like that kind of person. Well, he was that kind of person. He can't prove anything. Stuff may have been planted. But they start it, and they start the seed. A little leaven works its way through the whole loaf, and they lie and lie and lie to discredit people. This is what they do. Or they'll put people out there that are a bunch of weirdo perverts, and they let them be the narrative for us on the alternative right until, well, listen to me for a second, until the people start realizing these people are basically shills and start calling them out on media, and then they get deplatformed. And this is what they do to us all the time because they want to control that narrative. I mean, think through this for a second. It's a conspiracy theory that hackings are taking place in London now. It's not happening. It's not going to happen. No, it's not a conspiracy theory. It's a fact. You know, people are hacking each other to death. We're talking medieval hacking here. What are we going to run around with axes and clubs next? You know, with spikes? I mean, what are we going to do here? How are we going to stop this? You can't stop it. It's because we've taken God out of the system. We've taken Jesus Christ out of the system. We've taken walk in love out of the system. We've taken that all out of the school system. So these people are coming out of these different third world countries. They're not be talking about the love of God or the love of Christ. They're taught an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. Somebody steals something, you hack their hand off. They lie or do something wrong, you cut their head off. That's how these people are trained. And so we think we're going to change all that? No, 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 no. Another thing I told that girl yesterday at the dealership, I'm going to mention this real quick. She said she had some tattoos on her, which is very limited, but she was wearing piercings in her nose. And she's a pretty girl. She's just young. And she'd been attacked by a dog, and she'd had some health issues and was in the hospital for months. And she had, like, a bunch of piercings in her nose. And I asked her, I said, why would somebody as pretty as you, and I was being very respectful, you know, wear rings in your nose? I said, do you realize how that looks? She goes, well, I like them. And I said, well, okay. She goes, well, I like tattoos too. And I said, you may like rings and you may like tattoos. I said, but not everybody does. Now, I'm going to digress for just a second here. I have a friend of mine I did a lot of seminars with back in the 90s. I listened to a lot of his CDs and tapes. His name was Jim Rohn, R-O-H-N. Jim Rohn, R-O-H-N. You get his stuff on YouTube for free. And he has a whole series on personal development. He said, you know, you can do certain things, but it costs you a percentage of the people that you're being, you know, you're going to be around. In other words, if you like to cuss a lot, you know, people are going to be offended by that unless they like to cuss a lot. If you like to be late and you're not punctual, people are offended by that unless they're late and, you know, all the time themselves. If you dress real sloppy and you got dirty clothes on and they stink, you know, you're going to take a group of people that are going to smell you and see you and you're late and you're cussing and they're going to think, well, I just don't really want anything to do with this person. And same thing with all of these different habits. Like, it's like tattoos. A person who doesn't have tattoos, they may not like tattoos. A person who has tattoos, they may love tattoos. If you meet somebody who's covered in tattoos and you're covered in tattoos, everybody's happy, happy sometimes, okay? But here's the thing. I said to her, I said, what if you find a really good, high-quality guy who doesn't like tattoos? And he basically really wants to date you, but he just decided a long time ago he wasn't going to date somebody who had tattoos. She goes, well, I don't care about that. I said, okay, that's all right. That's all right. As long as you understand that may be something you have to run into later on. I said, how about the same thing with piercings? Now, I'm not trying to preach here, because I know a lot of you have tattoos that are listening to the show this morning. I could care less. And a lot of you got tattoos before you really thought about getting tattoos, and you're not really a tattoo person anymore, but you got a tattoo. It's just, it doesn't matter. This show is not about whether you have a tattoo or not, because I could absolutely care less. What I'm talking about here is this. Ask yourself a question. Who wants you to rebel against society? Who wants you to rebel against the Bible, the Word of God? Who wants you to rebel against Christ? Who wants you to rebel against all this? Well, I don't think having a tattoo is rebellion. Okay, that's all right. I'm all right with that. You don't have to think that. It doesn't matter. But your opinion, my opinion, whatever. Whatever. But here's the thing. Why are you doing it? Ask yourself that question. What's it doing to you? And is that okay? Ask yourself, why are you doing it? What's it doing to you? And is it okay? If you're getting a tattoo because you like a butterfly on your calf, okay. Or, you know, whatever on your calf, you know, then you like that. You think it looks cute, okay. If you're doing it because you're mad at your dad or mad at your mom and you're sowing the seeds of rebellion, or you're doing it just to make somebody else mad because your boyfriend doesn't like it, now you're going to do it, or your girlfriend doesn't like it, and now you're going to do it. What is that doing to you, and is that okay? Ask yourself those questions. It's very, very important that we all think through what we're doing, and is that okay? Because sometimes it is, sometimes it's not. Sometimes it can cause all kinds of additional problems. Now, here's probably the most frustrating story I'm going to cover today. It's out of Breitbart. Of course, if it's out of Breitbart, this has to be a conspiracy theory because I'm reading it, so it can't possibly be real. But it doesn't matter if you've got the guy on tape saying it. It doesn't really matter. This one bothers me. Lindsey Graham, the gay guy. That's right. I can't say that. The person who really is into an alternative lifestyle, who really likes to frequent closets. There you go. I said that's better. Who runs around with a purse. There you go. Who's never been married. Basically, yeah, that guy. He now is saying that it's okay because Democrats and the GOP can come together for gun confiscation law. Yeah, there we go. Now we're getting to what they want to be. There we go. Senate Judiciary Committee, Linda Chairmans, Lindsey Graham, Republican out of South Carolina, says firearm confiscation laws portend a way that Democrats and Republicans can come together. Wow. CNN reported that Graham has long supported red flag laws. That means I can say that you, my friend listening to the show today, are a nut, and your guns need to be seized, and they run and take your stuff. This allows a court to issue firearm confiscation orders for individuals deemed to be a threat to themselves or to others. House Democrats have already passed legislation during this Congress to criminalize private gun sales and extend the instant background check for firearm purchases. They are now pressing for $50 million in annual funding to bring academia, here we go, more brainwashing of the media and the children,
there you go,
into
yep.
the gun control push. The Democrats have also been vocal in their support for gun confiscation laws, and this is where Graham believes the left and right can come together. This little sissy boy, ooh, I said it, this little sissy, this little tiptoe around the tulips, Graham, this little boy wants to now take everybody's guns away. The Democrats have now been vocal in support, and they can believe they can come together here. He told CNN, I haven't really looked into the House package, but this, is, to me, is the area where we could come together. Graham has a scheduled March 26th Judiciary Committee hearing on confiscation orders. Wait a minute. What? Hey, why didn't they ask me if they could do this crap? Why didn't they ask Offset? Why didn't they ask any of you guys listening? You know, the heck with these guys.
What the H-E double sticks is wrong with these guys? They could do whatever they want to do against our Constitution, and we're supposed to sit here and say, I love it, I like it, and you can do what you want? No! What is wrong with these people that they think they can just do whatever they want to do and destroy the what's left of our Bill of Rights, thanks to George W. Bush, the blithering idiot in the White House with a double-digit IQ, luckily the size of a shoe? I can't even believe this is happening. I warned you guys. I warned you guys years ago with George Bush when he was doing the Patriot Act and all the rest of it. Wow, 26th Judiciary Committee hearing on confiscation. This has to be a conspiracy theory because it's from Breitbart. California, Illinois, and Florida, I might say shamefully, all have gun confiscation order via red flag laws. California's law did nothing to prevent the November 7th, 2018 border bar and grill shooting in which 12 innocents were killed. The law in Illinois did not prevent the February 15th, 2019 shooting at the Henry Pratt Company where 5 innocents were killed. And the Florida did nothing to stop the law in August 26th at the Jacksonville Landing or the January 23rd shooting at the SunTrust Bank in Sebring. A total of 8 innocents were killed in the two Florida shootings. But guys, they've been taken guns away from over 1,000 people now. And those are the numbers we can get. It's probably closer to 10,000. Guys, it's that sneaky little way these jerks always come in behind the scenes. They sneak in. It's like a bunch of slimy roaches at night. They slither around at night under the refrigerator, and then as soon as you leave and you got the lights turned on, they come out and they start doing all their little dirty work. Okay, this is what they do. It's that snake in the grass thing we talked about last week. They don't lay out on the concrete. You can see it. You can shoot the wretched thing. They sit there, and they basically slither in the grass. They bite you when you're not looking. That's how they've done all of this stuff. That's how they've taken our rights away. I mean, I remember back in the 90s, Austin. I remember one time I did this. I cannot believe I did this. I had a guy named Tony Durso, and he flew out to Colorado with us. Good guy, good friend of mine. He flew out to Colorado with us. He was my roadie. He worked on the trip on the road with me when we did seminars, and then we came back through from Denver, and Tony had a round-trip ticket because back then it's round-trip tickets for the same price, and we got in Denver, and Sharon says, I want to go home because we were going to come by through Texas and pick up my good friend, my attorney, John Parvin. He's going to ride back in the motorhome with us to Florida, so it's going to be me, Austin, Tony and John Parvin, and Sharon said, too much testosterone. I want to get out of the motorhome. We've been on this trip now for 2 or 3 weeks. I want to fly home. And I said, well, why don't you use the other half of Tony Durso's ticket? And she goes, okay. No ID. No ID. She walked up to the plane. She had her ticket. She showed the boarding pass. She walked on the airplane and flew home as Tony Durso. Oh, I can't believe you did that, Ted. Rah! All the cats are hissing. 20 years ago, 25 years ago. Hey, guess what, guys? We can't even do that anymore. Now driver's license. They want new chips and driver's license. You got to have a passport to get on a plane. What the heck happened to our rights? I'll tell you what happened to the rights. The narrative. They got to take it all away from you. They got to put you into a slave state, and they want you to accept it. It's sad. Austin, I love you. I'll do the write-up today. You guys are absolutely awesome. Thanks for listening today. I have a confession today, though. I got to confess. True confession, Ted. I did have 2 cups of coffee this morning. Maybe that's why I'm so hyper. I was so sleepy this morning when I got out of bed with this time change, I thought, I'm going to have some coffee. And so, you guys, this is Ted on coffee. You go, I like Ted on coffee. Well, Ted doesn't like Ted on coffee very long. My adrenals get shot. I love you guys. I appreciate you. I had the opportunity to pray for you again this morning. You guys are absolutely awesome. You're the best of the best of the best. And my heart goes out to you. My faith goes out to you. My protective covering and faith goes out to you. I love you guys, and I'll talk to you tomorrow. God bless.
I'm glad he was able to boot up this morning. I have had 0 stimulants, and so I've been trying to level out all morning to get ready as the time change definitely caught me hard, really hard actually yesterday. So, but again, thank you guys for all the support and everything you continue to do. Also, too, one last story. I saw this. This is a great article. I talked about it last year when it came out, but I want to bring it up again because I've had a couple, again, emails on PTSD and Japanese researchers in a research study that was done aimed to determine whether omega-3 fatty acids had a beneficial effect on physiological symptoms of PTSD, including increased heart rate when reliving the traumatic experience. They gave the treatment group, the control group, fish oil supplements containing 1470 milligrams of DHA and 147 milligrams of EPA, so a little bit over 1600 milligrams total omega-3 fats. After 3 months of supplementation, the participants performed script-driven imagery of their traumatic experiences. At the same time, researchers monitored their heart rate and skin conductance. The researchers reported the heart rate during both rest and script-driven imagery was substantially lower in those who took the omega-3s than those who took the placebo. They also concluded that the supplementation of omega-3 might help prevent physiological and psychological symptoms of PTSD. The findings of the study were published in the Journal of Affective Disorders. As you guys already know, various studies have determined different ways on how omega-3s improve mental health conditions such as depression, as omega-3 fats, specifically omega-3 phospholipids, which is what we have in our Body Balance HIMLA. It's a water-fat-soluble oil. Easily goes through the brain cell membrane and interacts with mood-related molecules inside the brain, and also produces very incredible anti-inflammatory properties, as they have seen in research studies. A huge issue that a lot of times occurs in depression is inflammation. Inflammation in the brain a lot of times is the precursor that starts issues with depression. So when you take a large amount of omega-3, especially fat-soluble, omega-3 water fat-soluble phospholipids like our Body Balance HIMLA, it goes right through the blood-brain barrier and reduces inflammation and gives the brain the fuel and nutrients that it needs, as omega-3 fats play a crucial role in normal brain function and development through all stages of life, starting in the womb. That's why I always tell individuals, especially women when they're pregnant, you know, our omega-3 or our prenatals that we have are incredibly good. At the end of the third trimester, towards the end of the third trimester, you really want to start hammering additional omega-3 fats, in my opinion, the cod liver oil, the Body Balance HIMLA, at the end of it, to really increase that omega-3 load in the body for the baby as it's starting to grow and finish off before it's born. So thank you so much, guys, for all the support. Thank you for everything. I hope you guys had an awesome weekend. Got a lot of different things planned this week. We will be releasing the CBD Body Balm. That should be out any day now. We're finalizing everything on it. That's going to be a really popular product. We'll probably put a combo together with our CBD oil and our CBD body balm as we get everything dialed in this week. So be sure to check out the product of the week, our probiotic 350 billion on sale right now. Really great formula. And be sure to vote for other products that are on there for product of the week. Check out the website. Sign up for our free weekly newsletter. Thank you for your support. Thank you for everything you do in spreading the word and forwarding our shows. You have a blessed, safe, awesome day. We'll talk to you again tomorrow, as always.